This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time. This is a special episode to honor the passing of a great American and great Christian in Charlie Kirk. Galen, this has been a tumultuous, even less than 24 hours so far.
100%. And we don't do these special episodes very often, and kind of just want to set the tone right out of the gate here. Our call is to mobilize Christians to be able to identify evil and address it, and both to address the evil that our country has witnessed and is grieving through, but also honor a man who really stood for that and just was a remarkable example of lovingly, tactfully, not emotionally standing up and speaking truth. This is a very, very sad day for the church, for the nation, and really just wanted to take the time to honor his legacy and help hopefully process a little bit for our listeners and even ourselves in response to all this.
Yeah, and when you think about it as well, the more you let evil into your life, the more it grows, I think the more heinous acts that people commit. And it's one of those situations, and obviously we don't know the information about who perpetrated this, but you've got to have a really dark heart to go down that kind of road. So, yeah, Charlie Kirk, an Arizona native, Gail, and I live here in Arizona, and you lived here as well, and he's been to our church. He's been in circles where we've navigated Salem Radio, and he touched so many people. I actually put a note out yesterday saying that he wasn't killed because he was confrontational. He was killed because he was effective, and he was effective at proselytizing for Christ. He was effective in his politics and in his mission as well to activate people. My wife actually said to me last night about being an activist. And for everyone out there, to be an activist means to be activated. In other words, you're not sitting on the sidelines, you're actually doing something. And what a legacy to leave behind, the fact that you touched so many people, you had such a great positive effect on the world as Charlie Kirk did.
Man, how true is that? And not just be activated, but also be activating. And that's what he did. That he went to college campuses. He was putting on events. I mean, he was remarkable. Mobilizing the faith component. he was a guy on a mission, and what an incredible legacy, because he did inspire people, mobilize people. Charlie was a guy that moved the needle. Yeah. And we all want to be that. We all want to be making our lives and everything we're doing have a positive impact, mobilize people, And he truly did move the needle. And I think you said it well. He didn't just die because of his beliefs. He died because of his effectiveness. That's why he was a target. And I think it's good, even on kind of on the front end of this episode, really just wanting to unpack that and honor his legacy, remember his service. And for me also, it's like, I didn't even realize, I always knew it, but didn't fully realize how impactful he was and how strong of a voice he was and how tactful he was. You don't realize it until now that he's gone. When all of a sudden we don't have him anymore, I realize who else was like Charlie Kirk? I mean, he was put Jesus at the center, was tactful, was knowledgeable, was loving. It almost drives me nuts that the media has painted him like a divisive or hard right figure. He was a loving guy. What a model. I mean, and you don't realize it until you see the heinous evil that takes him out of the world.
Hey, Galen, there's a word you had in our show notes, which is courage, courageousness. And you look at Christ's apostles, they all knew. Well, actually, going back, what was the first thing they did when Christ was crucified is they huddled together in a small room, scared. And it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came upon them and baptized them with fire that they actually got the courage to go out and know that speaking the name of Jesus puts you clearly in the target of evil.
Right.
And Charlie Kirk had that level of courageousness that was just overwhelming. And I can only hope that I could sort of have that kind of faith and that kind of courage.
Right.
You know, we saw an act of evil the other day with that woman being murdered on the train and all the people cowered. And
right. All the people sitting around her completely didn't engage, went passive. Yeah.
It is the role of Christians. If you're out there, you listen to us as a Christian, it is your role to be courageous. It's your role to stand up to evil.
And he had that because he knew very well that he was a target. I mean, he was
oh, very attacked before.
I'm sure he was the type of guy that probably got death threats all the time. I mean, there were death threats on social media the day before it happened. The FBI is hopefully investigating all those things, but he was courageous. And I've seen some amazing honoring videos that people are just compiling content. And I think there's going to be some amazing tributes to him. But I saw one this morning on social media where he talked specifically about courage. And he quoted, I believe it was Aristotle, and he said, courage is the virtue that without that one, there can be no others. Because if you're not willing to stand up for things, and standing up for truth necessitates addressing opposition, being confrontational with evil. And as a man, even myself, so often you want to do that in ways that are insulting, in ways that are generating attention and things like that. And he did get a lot of views. His content was amazing. But if you look at his spirit and his demeanor and his character, he was not a provocateur. He was humbly courageous, listened very well. The media doesn't really show that side of a lot of his interactions. And was very courageous to speak the truth in love, because that's the thing that made an impact. And like you said, that's why he's no longer with us. But I think he's such an exemplary example that I didn't fully appreciate until yesterday.
I'd agree. He was one of those that I wasn't a huge fan of his radio show. If I was listening to talk radio, he wasn't my first choice. But maybe it's also because of the age difference as well. But he touched my children. And they knew Charlie Kirk. They knew his impact out there. And, you know, when you think of him, like, he modeled the Christian family as in Genesis. He had a wife. He had children. He was walking with the Lord. All of the things that made him a real target for darkness. But we still don't know more of those details of what the motivation was. But really, you've got to narrow it down to his Christian ideals, his political stance on things, and his loving stance on social ideas around transgenderism. Mutilating children is not a loving thing in any way, shape, or form. And he stood up for things like that. And he went for me as being someone who I had respect to I have the utmost respect for him and his legacy at this point in time. And it isn't pointless, and we'll get onto that in a minute, because I know a lot of people are saying, but he's dead. Like, he failed in his mission. No, he did not at all. We all die. And I think, again, I think it behooves us at some point to also dig into that here today as well.
So let's do this then. So, I mean, you know, we definitely want to honor his legacy, really his character, because that's the thing that we can, we're not always going to be able to have the impact that Charlie had. Not every person listening, not every American, not every person, not every Christian is going to be a Charlie Kirk, but what every Christian can do is pursue the character that he had.
Yes.
So having honored his legacy a little bit, there's a phrase that's roaming around in the Twitter sphere a lot, which is inspiring. And it's, when a tyrant dies, his reign ends. But when a martyr dies, his reign begins. And there's actually a biblical principle there, and it's from John. And Jesus said that unless a grain of wheat, which is a seed, unless it falls to the earth and dies, it remains.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Remains alone. But if it dies, if a seed dies, it bears much fruit. So I think the best way to honor his legacy continually is to not let his legacy die, but let his legacy and his life be a seed of inspiration and activation that moves us on to really confront evil in other ways. So why don't we do this? Why don't we move on and unpack a little bit about the evil in that we've seen yesterday and everything that was behind it, as heinous and awful as it is. And that way, because what I really think we need to do, we have a country that's grieving, and especially people that are in our circles, the conservative Christians, which is probably the primary base of our listeners, although I think it's broader than that as well. We're all grieving a great injustice and a great evil. How do we direct that grief? And so I think, can we maybe just unpack it a little bit and talk through that?
Yeah. And it's a place to start with this, Galen, with the why. Because I think there's a lot of Christians out there asking why. Okay, why did God let this happen? Why didn't God protect him? If he was such a warrior for Christ, why didn't God protect him? But if you were a Christian, you have to look at your history and you have to look at the fate of all the apostles. When you walk closely with God on this earth, you are walking against the spirit of this earth, which is the demonic, and you are just going to be met with attacks. Now, if we lived in a life where God sanitized this, where there was absolutely no fear, no pain, one, we'd just be slaves, and two, you wouldn't have the freedom and the free will and the dominion that God gave us. He created us in his image, not to be slaves, but to be free.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, so when people really struggle with the why, I think it's a lot more easy to understand than, you know, why now is maybe a bit more difficult, but why, I think it's kind of clear why, when you understand the type of spiritual warfare that we're engaged in here. So, you know, this was done by evil, and maybe we have to actually, you know, put a name to it. I know Ephesians 5 is a great verse that people need to think about with this, is have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. You have to, in your life, and it's been the mission of our podcast, is to point out to people where evil finds its way into your life in the smallest ways that grow into the largest actions. Mm-hmm. And if you want to live a great life here on earth, rather than ask it that question, why, and earn on the negative, it's something you have to pay attention to.
Right. And I think it's easy to see the obvious evil, to see a man assassinated in cold blood. And it was a brutal, brutal video. The evil is just so apparent. I mean, who to plot that and come against a guy that's that virtuous? You can disagree with him, but to deny that he's one of the good ones, only the demonic could find joy in his death.
In front of the children as well.
Leaving, right, his wife and children were at the event. His wife had to see that
and
blood
all the students,
out of his neck.
All those children as well that had to witness that.
Oh my goodness. No, the type of evil that brings about that scenario, and then the thing that's been hitting me and probably a lot of our listeners is to look at the response from a lot of people. A lot of people are grieving and offering condolences, but to see gleeful responses from so many people, that to me is one of the big things that people are going to struggle to process, asking why, why would this happen? Why would God allow it to happen? But then seeing that it happened and seeing there are some people that are mocking and laughing at dancing on his grave before he's even in the ground.
It's sick to be that gleeful over the demise of someone. But then who obviously isn't evil, but if you come from the perspective where you've been conditioned to believe every one of his points of view are evil, then you're going to celebrate this. But you need to know what side you're on and just be really clear with that. And I feel for those people. I think this is where Christ talks about having love for your enemies, is because like, they've got a dark place ahead of them.
You know, and I was thinking about it a lot. I mean, my mind has been spinning on this, and I'm in a strange way grieving. I didn't know him personally. I think I met him once, but it's like I don't sound like I knew him personally, but the impact he had and the role that he served in the Christian conservative world was just so impactful. I've been grieving this, and one of the thoughts that I've had is, so many people that are opposing him view his stances and his words as being evil. And Charlie stood for speaking the truth clearly, speaking the truth plainly, and speaking the truth in love. And we should celebrate when evil is defeated. The characterization of Charlie as an evil man and the things that he espoused as evil, that's a heinous rhetoric that led to that. But then one of the other big things is the fact that we're also living in a world that doesn't allow, it conflates words with physical acts of violence. And that's been one of the core mistakes that we've seen develop over the past several years, that your words, if you say something that I don't agree with, if you say something that's offensive to me because it contradicts what I believe, your words are violence. Therefore, the natural response to your violence is counter-violence. And that's, to me, the evil that we're addressing. There are a lot of people who believe his words, which to me is speaking the truth in love in a straightforward manner, his words were violence and were evil. And again, we talk a lot in the Screwtape Letters and in our podcast about the crossing of wires. When you call good evil and evil good... I think you see that dynamic at play here with the people that have been against Charlie, the people that coordinated his death, and the people that are celebrating in response. It's, to me, it's pure demonic.
But it's, of course,
it's pure and simple demonic.
It's the great counterfeit. You take it from their perspective and twist it. They can call it something that the human being naturally repels against, the idea that something is evil. When the demonic pose it that way for their own good, they've crossed the wires, they've been the great counterfeit, and all of a sudden you get people believing they're righteous.
Yeah. And when I see this, and I'm seeing a lot of these compilation videos of, you know, especially the Gen Zers and younger people and people that are on the college campuses that are literally gleeful. They're singing about this. They're making funny videos. There was another big one with Don Lemon, and I actually asked Grok to confirm whether it was true, and Grok said it is. Don Lemon's doing a live stream reporting it, and it was 100% of the comments virtually were people mocking it, having scorn about it. If you want to see what an expression and a call it a manifestation or call it a depiction of the demonic realm, if you want to see what the ghouls and goblins and the underlings of Satan's army look like, as close to what we will ever be able to see them, look at these people who are singing and dancing and laughing at Charlie Kirk's death. That is literally the demonic. I'm not sure if those people are actually possessed or if they just have had so much demonic influence framing their minds and influencing their opinions so much that they are just fully expressing in the world today exactly what the demonic realm looks like. Yep. It's the most sinister, evil thing. And this is the type of thing that we're facing as a nation. This is where I think that the social tension and struggle is going to be, seeing the people that are responding to this, the people that led to it, that aren't repentant, won't admit it. You'll get the media gaslighting you. And then people that are celebrating it either overtly or giving you empty words on.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
On screen and happy about it off screen. This is the difficult thing. That adds a lot of complexity to the grieving process.
So, Galen, a lot of Christians look at these things and say, look, we should have the heart of Christ, we should love our neighbor and find ways to forgive during this. But I want to have everyone stop for a second and understand that you have to read your Bible correctly. And the Bible has a perspective on confronting evil, everything from protecting your own life, protecting your family. And, you know, all scripture is correct. And when you look at 1 Timothy 5:8, but if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially the members of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That word in Greek meaning to protect, to give safety, resources, well-being, not just about money. You have to protect your family. Even in Nehemiah 4:14, it says, after I looked over all things, I stood up and said to the nobles, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight for your families, your sons and daughters, your wives and your homes. This is literally self-defense for your family. This isn't letting, like, you don't let evil in and say, you know, peace be with you and just let them, you know, right, slaughter your family.
Right.
You know, and maybe it's one of those, you know, simple understandings that God was teaching us that the world's evil. You should have that sense of protection already built in. You shouldn't have to go down I shouldn't have to tell you to protect what I created. It should be built in there. Yes, start with love, start with compassion, start with living your life in a way where you're not creating more tension, more angst, more evil. But don't be a fool. Be a lamb at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
Be a lion at the right time.
So as we're processing this, both myself, you and I have been texting a lot over the past 24 hours, and the nation as a whole, I think In the grieving process, if you lose a loved one, don't act on all of the feelings, but take them all in. And that's what we're going to be doing as a nation, as Christians, people in the conservative movement. Like, let's not act on all these emotions just yet. But a lot of these things, there's a lot of things in life, and especially in scripture, where things that seem to be opposite of one another just live out in a type of tension. So when we have like, for example, is God sovereign? Or does mankind have autonomy and responsibility? Well, both are true. Those are kind of opposite things, and they live in a healthy tension. Is God filled with love, or does he have wrath? He has both. You know, and they live with a type of a lot of the complex things of life live in a really healthy tension. And I think taking that command to stand up for our families, to respond, to be activated, we're going to have to consider kind of two opposites that are just going to have to live in a tension. Number one is, I think, restraint. We're not to avenge ourselves. Scripture is very clear. We're to leave vengeance to the Lord. We're not to act out of anger. We're to be angry, but not sin. So it's exercising restraint through all this. But then on the other side, we are to take action.
Yeah, again, can I throw in here as well that?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, within Romans, where Paul says, you know, submit to authorities in so much as you don't go against God's law. And I think that is clear that, yes, we don't take, and people say, well, why would we execute someone who did this? Because there is worldly law that within that passage, God says, look, the governments you've got and the rules that they make are given to you there. And you basically submit to them in so much as you do not disobey God.
Right.
So for those out there thinking, okay, well, do we just forgive and move on? No, we don't forgive and move on. The justice on this earth takes place first. We don't.
Correct.
Vengeance is not ours. That's for God.
And one of the best ways to look at it, I'm not looking for personal vengeance, and I'm not looking to take justice into my own hands, but capital punishment is a thing. So I think, and I would say very clearly, I think this person needs to be apprehended and anybody else that was part of it, and we should persecute to the highest extent of the law, and including capital punishment. I don't know what the laws are in the state of Utah necessarily.
Yeah, the death penalty is part of it. Yeah.
Okay, well, good. And we should be okay with that. Like, that should not be an unhealthy expression of emotion to celebrate death. You can't, but we need to honor life with capital punishment. That's a biblical command. It comes from Genesis. It is an idea, and it's something that's honored in this nation because we honor life. And in order to honor life, you have to remove from society the things that threaten life in this type of evil and heinous way. This, no doubt, is an act worthy of capital punishment. We need to fight the right battle. And the other thing, I'll throw out another thought too, because I think everybody struggles with this. There's so much that wants to just take matters into my own hands, and we might want to just picture taking up arms and starting to see more reaction and counter violence against our political enemies, that we can't embrace that as Christians. So right. That's where I'm saying that tension has to be there. We have to submit everything to the Spirit and look at the entirety of Scripture. Like you said, do we forgive? Absolutely. Immediately, quickly, fully, and freely. But then we take action and we seek justice. Forgiveness and justice are not opposite to each other. They can go hand in hand.
Yep,
and that's where I'm just calling our listeners to take all of the feelings, all the thoughts and emotions, submit it to the Lord, learn to exercise discernment and restraint while also praying for how to take that energy and direct it towards godly action. Restraint and action are they're two opposite things, but they just have to be held in tension with one another as we're really, really praying for a nation and our loved ones to heal through this. Because we can't respond evil with other evil. We cannot be taking things into our own hands. We have to, and even visualizing in my own mind, what if this had happened to somebody who's opposite of me ideologically? What if this happened to a congressperson that I really don't like? Would I have celebrated? Ask yourself that honest question.
Yeah.
And if there's a part of you that thinks you would have celebrated or found joy in it, repent of that. That's what Charlie would want you to do.
Galen, so you can have compassion and standards and they can coexist. They're not mutually exclusive. They can coexist, right? So you've got those two things, but also it's been playing on my heart since yesterday, which is the more a society lets crime and sin go unchecked, the more it grows. And I think that we've had a situation where a lot of the country feels that there's a justice for one and not for the other. And we saw it, you know, the sin of slavery, where, you know, we would have different rules for those who offended the blacks who were slaves and those who weren't. And that was evil and that was wrong. And we corrected that. And I think we're in an era now where we're letting people get away with a lot, and there's no earthly punishment for them. There's no even like scorn for them. There's equivocating on those issues, and it doesn't help evil stop. I think it helps it grow. So from a biblical response, you have to. I think, Galen, you phrased it really well. You have to really check yourself quickly, look to the Lord, you know, ask the Lord for help during this, but then know your scripture and understand that, you know, one God's going to take care of this eternally. And in the meantime, he's given us the law on earth to submit to the authorities within a government that we've chosen or the government that we're under. And that has consequences, and don't be a fool that you're going to escape that by either just being a Christian or not being a Christian.
Right. And I think also, like, I don't want to shy away from using the word, you know, fight. You know, when Trump had his assassination attempt, the guy got up 3 seconds later and said, fight, fight, fight. You know, and the response to this is fight, but like really discerning, what does that battle look like? Scripture says fight the good fight. It doesn't say fight the fleshly fight, fight the evil fight. We're fighting the good fight. And this is a fight that has to happen in the realm of communicating truth. What's interesting is Ephesians 5, Paul lays out the spiritual warfare. Paul lays out the spiritual armor and the sword of truth, the weapon of offense. In a battle context, that's the thing that's going to kill. That's the thing that's going to slay. That's the thing that's going to conquer. That's the thing that's going to advance on the offense. Paul uses that as an analogy for scripture. So this fight that we have and this battle we have is standing up, but I can't help but identify like the fittingness to point out that that's the battle that Charlie was fighting. He was fighting. It's a battle of fighting for ideas and fighting for truth in a loving way. And that's where we need to direct it. The energy that says heads need to roll. Yes. And the justice system done properly, heads need to roll, but it's easy to pick up a weapon. It's easy to pick up guns and fight fire with fire. That's fleshly. That's the difficult thing to do is restrain that, direct that, and harness that energy in a healthy way. And that's just my biggest call. It's to myself. I'm preaching to myself and really just challenging our, you know, our listeners to take that energy. Don't silence it and dismiss it and say we need to be compassionate and loving and forgiving. Take that energy and direct it towards godly action. That's the battle we're called to fight.
Yeah. So, you know, responding to this, as I say, for ourselves and for others, from that biblical perspective is really important. And I think, you know, coming to closing on this is the idea of we need to be courageous. And I think if anything, this should be a moment where you should lean on scripture, but also question your own level of courageousness. Would you stand up for someone being attacked in the street on a train? Would you be willing to be there to counsel someone who you know is going through very tough things? Are you courageous even to welcome someone to church? Are you willing to speak the name of Jesus in the public square? They're the starter points of courageousness that I think we all have to ask ourselves, especially as a man of the house, you know, you've got to be ready to protect your family.
That's good. I think it's spot on.
Yeah, so we'd love feedback on this. We'd love interaction with you. We'd love to discuss in the comments, whether it's on Rumble or wherever. Give us the scripture that you know talks about being courageous and also putting on the full armor of God against evil. It's not against yourself. It's against evil. Because evil will be attacking you. You need to put on the full armor of God and take up that battle. If you look at, you know, the trials of David, it's all about fighting against forces that are coming to kill and destroy. And the nation that David was leading, evil knew that that was a battle royale.
Right.
But it's just a small picture of the individual battles that each of us face. Even Christ faced the same battle as well.
Right.
He was tempted, he was persecuted, he was attacked, he was vilified in a lot of ways for saying things that were they really that controversial? But they weren't controversial, they were effective.
Well, and it's the truth that offends. It's the gospel that's a stumbling block, and it's the truth of scripture that is an offensive thing to the demonic, and it's an offensive thing to those who oppose it. But that shouldn't stop us from standing up for it. And my hope and prayer is that Charlie's life and legacy becomes a seed of inspiration that bears much fruit. And I, quite frankly, I think it will. And why don't we even close our time together by praying to that end?
Yeah, please.
Oh, Lord, we just cry out to you in a time of suffering and grief and pain to see such a well-documented occurrence of evil broadcast all over the world, all over the globe, to see it right in front of our eyes, God. We do to stop. Part of our soul just can't say anything, but why? Why would this happen? How could this happen, Lord? And we just pray for the Spirit to minister to hearts that are grieving and suffering, to pray the things where words can't be found. And we want to lift up first and foremost Charlie's family, the wife he leaves behind, the children he leaves behind. We pray that you administer supernatural comfort to them. We don't pray that you would exempt them from the pain and the grief and the suffering, but that you would walk them through this as they are walking through the valley of the shadow of the death of their husband and father, Lord. We pray that you administer to them. And we pray that you would give them supernatural comfort. We pray that those children would be brought up not to take on bitterness, but to take on their father's legacy. We pray for Erica, Lord, that you would just help her grieve through this. We pray that there would be good and sweet, supportive people around her to lift her up. Lord, that needs be met, whatever they may be. Lord, we pray for the family. And Lord, we pray for the rest of us. A lot of us are on the outside, feel like we knew Charlie in a sense. But we just pray, Lord, for our listeners. We pray for this nation. We pray for those that are grieving. And Lord, we even pray for our enemies who are celebrating, Lord. We pray for truth to prevail. We pray for truth to be known. We pray for the apprehension and capture and justice brought to the perpetrator and any of those involved, Lord. We pray for the fruit of the gospel to go out in a powerful way. We pray that this life that's been taken that we grieve is not one that's lost, but a seed that can be sown to bear much fruit for calling us to stand up in courage, to stand up for what is true, and to make an impact in the world, God. So we pray for a nation that's healing. We pray for people to put off anger that leads to sin and embrace righteous anger. We pray that all of the intensity and the emotion would be directed in a godly way, God. We just pray against those that would want to take up arms and fight fire with fire and fight evil with evil. Lord, may it not be so. I pray that you would just bring supernatural discernment, and may you bring the same heart and mind of Charlie Kirk himself. He would speak to every one of the people that are grieving in response and encourage them to forgive as Christ forgave at the cross, receive the persecution, and direct the life that you've given us and the opportunities you've given us to the godliest of ends, God. So we just pray for a de-escalation of violence. We pray for hearts to be brought to truth and minds to be brought to truth, God. That was Charlie's legacy, and we pray that it would be brought about in the upcoming weeks and months. We pray for the leadership void that we now feel to be filled with godly leadership. Let this be an opportunity for maybe not one big leader, but multiple other leaders. We pray for the void that he's leaving to not be a vacuum for the demonic to fill, but may it be filled with righteous men who are taking up his cause and advancing the proclamation of the gospel and standing up for truth, God. May Charlie, his life and his death and his legacy be a seed that's planted to bear much fruit for your kingdom and for our nation. God, we pray for your Holy Spirit to minister to grieving and angry hearts, and we pray for your will to be done, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points. Perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.